בשוס מרינו הרב שהתאמה יודעה זו. In the last memoir on Parshas Yisroi in Lev Eliyahu, Reb Elia Lapian, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, brings down a scene which happened in the Eitz Chaim Yeshiva in London. Reb Chanan Wassernem, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, had come in and he gave a mic and he said as follows. In 1918, the Chofetz Chaim had said that what has happened just now after the First World War was the first of three wars of Gog and Magog. That was the first which just occurred. He said there would be two more. The second one, he said, would occur in 25 years' time, and it would make the first one look like child's play. It would be as horrific and catastrophic, even worse than the First World War. When Rabbi Zalman Meltzer heard this, it says in the footnote there, in Lev Eliyahu, he went into the Chofetz Chaim and asked him, what did he mean? And the Chofetz Chaim said exactly what I said. The second would be like child's play. The first would be like child's play compared to the first. It would be a catastrophe. He then said the third war of Gog and Magog would be an Eist Tzora Le'Yakoy. Not necessarily a war, but an Eist Tzora Le'Yakoy. Umimenu Yivoshea. But from there they will be saved. There will be a Yeshua from this Eist Tzora Le'Yakoy. Rabbi Chanan, when he heard these words, made the following comment. As you know, Rabbi Chanan was something like a Novi of the Ikus of the Mashiach, of Kovetz Ma'amorim. Rabbi Chanan said as follows, Rak ha-maskil be'ez hazois. Only a maskil. A maskil means someone who is correctly thought out, who is well thought out. The Gaon says in Mishlei, the person who thinks successfully, Laman taskilu, only a person who is a thinking person, who considers carefully and understands the situation, Yidoin, keep quiet. You don't understand, you won't understand anything that has happened. Viit koine, and prepare. Ula yire b'nechoma tziyam Yerushalayim. Maybe this person who's quiet, who thinks carefully, and tries to understand and follows the Darkei Shamayim, he will be zoicha to see the Nechoma of Yerushalayim. The Nechama of Yerushalayim. That is the words of Rebbe Chanan. Rabbi Sai, what we see in front of us is clearly a situation of Eis Tzora Le'Yakov, no alone. The Pirut, the Machlokes, the Tsar, the anti-Semitism abroad, the whole situation of Klal Yisrael is nothing else, nothing short of what the Chofetz Chaim is at Eis Tzora Le'Yakov, a time of great sorrow. David HaMelech was called a maskil. By he David, the whole derech of maskil. David was called that sort of person. He was well thought out, his thoughts are correct, and he was accurate in his forecast and his precision. Maskil le David, be yoysa ba'mor tefillah, says the Sipona, that Perek is talking about the ikbus of the Mashiach. And David realized in such a situation, ba'mo'ora, in the times of great difficulty, ikbus of the Mashiach, tefillah, the koyach of tefillah is important, is paramount. He wrote a Perek in Tehillim, Perek Yud Gimel in Tehillim, where he forecast with great haskalah, with a nevuah, clearly, exactly what would be each stage of Golas of Klal Yisrael. He saw ahead with his haskalah, and he realized exactly what was going to happen in Klal Yisrael. Lamnatzeach mizmor leDavid. Ad ono Hashem tishkocheni netzach. The word ad ono appears four times. Ad ono, how long, how long? The interminable time. It seems to go on and on. It goes on and on. Chazal explained, HaKadosh Baruch Hu complained about Klal Yisrael. Ad ona menatsuni, ad ona melemiyantem bi, ad mosai. Since you, I complained about you after Meraglim and the Mon, ad ona, therefore you will be put into Golas for four times. Ad ona tishkocheni netzach, says the Medrash Shoich HaToiv, is to refer to Golas Bovel, where Klal Yisrael felt as if they were completely abandoned, completely forgotten. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had deserted them and abandoned them. Me'igro Roma, Labira Amikta, from the great splendor and glory of Bais Rishon, they were taken down Labira Amikta, down Anaras Bovel, the enormous, enormous trauma from going to such a high peak to going down to Labira Amikta, to a deep pit. Ad ono tasti responecha mimeni, said David HaMelech. How long will you hide your face from me? Referring to God as Paras Umodai, Hastoras Ponim. Klal Yisrael and Shushan felt as if they were completely, they were hidden, they couldn't find HaKadosh Baruch. Ad ono oshis eitzos benavshi refers to Golas Yovan. Yovan was, they had to find eitzos, how to find ways to be Mekayim the Torah. Yogam dovivium, ad ono yoruma yaviolai. How long will the enemy rise up and stand against me with great arrogance and pride? Refers to God as Edom. David HaMelech foresaw each of the periods with Hesaskona, what each period would be. Habita, look at me. That's the response of Klal Yisrael in Bavel. Look at me, stare at me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see what I'm going through in Bavel. Aneini, that was Esther crying out, Keli, Keli, Lama Atar Sotoni. Hashem Elaka, Ho'ira Einai, enlighten me in the secular culture, in the enticement of the Greek ideology. Penisha Namoves, Penyoima Oevi Yocholti Tzorei Yagilu Kimah. Lest my enemy turns around and say, they stumbled, they've fallen. The enemy's Klal is the goddess Edom will turn around and say, they've collapsed, they hit Mototut. Hit Mototut, there's nothing left of Klal Yisrael. That is the response. I trusted in your kindness, says the Medrash, referring to the Geula from Bavel. They were redeemed from Bavel. Pashtos Bayis Sheni was a recompense, after a remedy after the Chumah Bayis Rishonim. Yogalibi Vishuasecha, Pashtos is talking about the Simcha of Purim. We had Purim to take place from Paras Modai. Oshiro Lashem is a Halal of Chanukah. Ki Gomal Oloi is what we're waiting for now. He will pay me back. He will pay me back because I waited for him. You know, in business, it's forbidden to take hamtonas moras, to take money for delay. The Kodesh Baruch will pay me back for waiting for him. The hamtona, he'll pay me back for the hamtona that I wait for him in that time period. We see, Rabbi Yisai, from here, that we are left in this last goddess at the moment, goddess Edom and goddess of the Eruvav. The situation which we described, which David HaMelech describes, is a situation, ad ono yorumwe of Yolai. They rise up against me, the arrogance, the pride, the haughtiness, the swagger, the scorn of Edom and the Eruvav. That's what we're going through now. They rise up and they stand in front of me and they proclaim their enormous koichas, koichiboitzim yodi. That's the situation which David foresaw. Yorum oyevi Yolai. Sitting on the floor of Rabbi Yisai on the night of Tisha B'Av, we have to consider what exactly is goddess Edom, which we're going through now. What is this goddess? What is the nature of this Yom Oyevi Olai that they rise up against? What are we facing here? What exactly is the agenda? What is happening here? First, we must understand, who is Edom? Who is goddess Edom? The Ramban brings down in Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Yud Dalet in Bereishis, the four kings which Avraham Avinu faced, each represent the four kingdoms. Amraphel is goddess Bavel. Arioch was goddess Paras Umadai. Kedola Oime is goddess Yovan. And Sidar Melech Goyim is represented goddess Edom. The Ramban explains, the nature of goddess Edom is Goyim, Sidar Melech Goyim. It's a collective term, an asifa. Rav Hutner, in one of the Ma'amoyim on the Tanakh, once explained that the nature of Edom is any nation who rises against Klal Yisrael is called Edom. It could be China, it could be France, it could be Germany, it could be America, which any nation arises in our times and makes a hisnagdus against Klal Yisrael is called goddess Edom. Edom is a collective term. Sidon Melech Goyim, any nation at all who rises against Klal Yisrael. That's who Edom is. But what's their agenda? What are they after? What is their nature? Ki Yorum Oyevi Olai? What are they trying to do? The Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin brings down a tefillah of Rabbi Alexander Ari, one of the Amoraim. At the end of his Shemoneh Esrei, he would say as follows: Ribono Shel Olam, Golu V'Yodua Lefonecha. You know full well, V'Tzoneinu La'asot Tzoneinu. We want very much to do your will. Mima Ake, what is holding us back? What is preventing us from fulfilling what's on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Se'a Sheba Isa V'Shibud Malchus. The yeast in the dough and the torment of the nations. The nations will rise up against us. The Maharsha brings down there in the Gemara Daf Yud Zayin that in the name of the Rambam from Shmuel HaPorkim, the Rambam says the nature of the Yetzer Hara is to push a person to an extreme. Meaning the extreme of the Yetzer Hara is enormous gaiva, enormous pride, or to torment. That's a nature, it's an extreme. And the extreme of the goddess Edom is to pressure us in such a way that they rise against us. What is the nature of yeast on the dough? It's not really as big as that, but they make themselves, the arrogance and the pride and the guy, they lift themselves up and they make themselves into something very important. That's the nature of Elf, goddess Edom. They contribute their pride and their arrogance and their enormous confidence in themselves. That's the nature of Seir Shabbat. Shibud Malchus, maybe is Spain and Germany and Poland and Russia who tormented us, the Shibud Malchus. And that's the nature. Goddess Edom has two, the pride and the arrogance of the Erev-Rav and Goddess Edom, and then together with the Shibud Malchus. I don't know if so much in our times, but Chassi Hashem Yisrael, we're going through something called, so Shibud Malchus, we live under the nature and the decrees of the Goyim, but the pain of Nazi Germany, or the Spanish Inquisition, or Russia and Stalin, and these the situation life in the ghetto, I don't wonder. We are more under the cast of the evil of the Seir Shabbisa, the rising arrogance, the great confidence which they had in themselves. Shlomo HaMelech referred to it similarly in Shir HaShirim Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Kumi loch vayosi yafosi ulchiloch. Rise up. Come towards me, says Bolei Olam. The Chosin calls to the Kala. Come, come towards me and meet me. He calls out to the Kala. Why? Ki hine hasestov ovara. Hageshem cholach polach loy. For behold, the winter has passed. The stov, in this connection, says the Bilgun HaGaon, refers to the bitter cold of the winter, the bitterness of Shibud Malchus, the harsh decrees, Germany and Russia and Poland. That's the stav refers to cold, the harshness of the winter. And the rain, which is continually falling, refers to the Seir Shabbisa, the second. In particular, says the Goan, it refers to the Erev Rav. The rain, the Pasuk, Goan brings the Pasuk in Mishle, Perakov Zayin. Delef toire b'yom sagrir, v'eshas madonim nishtavon. When the rain falls in the house and it's dripping and dripping and it's aggravating, it's like a nagging wife inside the house. It keeps on nagging and nagging. It's from inside nature, inside Klal Yisrael. And therefore, says the Gaon, in the times of Ikkus of the Mashiach at the end, the Erev Rav, who are part of Klal Yisrael, are the greatest torment. The stov has passed, the bitterness and the harshness of the decrees has passed by. Pashtus, we're now under the torment of the Erev Rav, people inside Klal Yisrael. And that's the nature. It's like a nagging wife inside the house. When the rain falls into the house, it's like an Eshes Madonim. It's like a wife who keeps on giving you problems inside the house. Who are the Erev Rav? In Eben Shlemer, the Gaon brings down, in Perek Yud Aleph, the definition of Erev Rav is as follows. Yadua, the Klal Yisrael, are called Reishis Tevuoso. Klal Yisrael are called the first of the produce, the wheat. They're compared to wheat. Says the Gaon, Yadua, that wheat has three wastage, three forms of soilus. There are three wastage on wheat. There's something called noitz, which is chaff. There's tevin, which is straw. And there's subin, which is attached to the wheat itself. And the Gaon explains as follows. The moitz, the chaff, is what happened in the time of Avraham Avinu. There was a Yishmael there, and Yishmael was the chaff. He was thrown out. He was thrown out. Yishmael was discarded, and Yitzhak was chosen from Avraham Avinu. From Yitzhak, there was an Esav. That's the tevin. The tevin, like the supporters, the underneath the wheat, is the tevin. That was also discarded, and that's from Yitzhak. But Yaakov, there was no psoilus here. Inside Yaakov Avinu, there was something called Klal Yisrael, which is the subin. It's very hard to take away the bran from the wheat itself. It's attached. You have to grind it very hard. It's inside Klal Yisrael, the Olev. And that's the Tzora. The Erev Rav are inside Klal Yisrael. And the Gaon explains that there are five characteristics of the Erev Rav. Bali Machlokes and Bali Loshon Hara. People who are cause arguments and cause strife and cause tremendous Loshon Hara. Bali Taiva. People are completely overcome with their Taiva and desires in life. Tzvuim are chameleons. People act one way in this place and another place. They have no integrity. They have no genuine nature to their Yiddish life. Roidech acha momon and roidech acha kovod. Those are natures of the Erev Rav. Look carefully. It's inside Klal Yisrael. Inside Klal Yisrael, the characteristics, not necessarily people from outside. There are people inside Klal Yisrael who have in them the characteristics of these Bali Taiva. Or Bali Machlek is Bali Loshon Hara. And that's what we see in our times at the moment, Rabbi Yisrael. The tragedy that we see, what is going on here? The enormous pivot which we see. Why are we sitting on the floor now? Because the enormous tzoros that we have from the Erev Rav, the people inside Klal Yisrael, from outside it's one thing. But we see what's happening here. The Machlekes which is going on. The Loshon Hara which is going on is enormously difficult here. And that's the time we have. Our reason why we're sitting on the floor is this, the Machlekes. It's a mice of cancer and bar cancer. No, get out, leave from here. Even if I embarrass you, leave my banquet. That's a mice of cancer. Noel v'oyen, that's what we see. The Machlekes between one group and another group. And that's the nature of Erev. It's inside Klal Yisrael. And that's why we're weeping, and that's why we're crying, and that's why we're still not by the Beis HaMikdash. The tzar is enormous. The tzar inside Klal Yisrael itself. Yadua, the Gemara Nevoma says that Klal Yisrael are three characteristics, Rachmonim, Baishonim, and Goyim Echasodim. That's what we're supposed to be like. Merciful, kind, and embarrassed people. That's the true nature, the complete opposite, the antithesis of what you find on the Eruv. What's the pasuk in this week's parsha? It says, I didn't choose you because you were so many, says Rashi on the pasuk, the most beautiful Rashi. It's not, when I shower you with goodness and benevolence, you never make yourself something special. You always diminish yourself, which is a beautiful trait. I can mashpia on you great things, and yet you make yourself into humble, into nothing at all. In London, several years ago, there was a Sapa Chosid who was renowned as a tremendous tzaddik and a tremendous gevir. His name was Rav Getzel Berger, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. They say he built up Kimat all of Kiryat Yoel. He was a Talmud, a Sapa Chosid. He had tremendous hatzvacha, tremendous yatat shmai in Parnassa. Before the Second World War, he was there, and he brought over all the people from Europe who he had and gave an affidavit to the British government that he'll support them all. He was a zar mensch. He took responsibility if anybody wanted to come in. Interesting how he made all his money. He realized that there would be potential of a blackout in London, and he started a factory making torches. And for that, he made a tremendous amount of money, and then went into real estate. But he was fabulously wealthy, and he gave tremendous amounts of money to Stockholm. One day, in an afternoon, he was seen by his neighbor walking up and down his garden, taking stones and throwing them down. It was clear that he was very disturbed. His neighbor saw him walking up and down. He was tossing stones, and he looked very disturbed. He said, "Rav Getzel, what is your problem? What's happening?" He said as follows. Listen to what happened to me today. This morning, early in the morning, at 9 o'clock in the morning, a certain bank who I work with, who knows me quite well, called me up and said as follows. "Mr. Berger, we have just discovered that there's a certain building, a large building in the city of London, where there's a foreclosure. They went bankrupt and the building is available to be invested in. If you want, we will offer this to you as a situation. We know you're a great investor in property. We're prepared to let you have this building as a foreclosure." Mr. Berger turned around and said to them, "I'm sorry, I do not have my funds. All my money is tied up. I'm not able to do anything at all. I'm not able to buy it." This is what he told his neighbor. 2 hours later, my own bank called me up and said as follows. My own bank. The manager called me up and said to us, "We discovered that we have a surplus of liquid cash, of liquid money. We know you're a great investor. We are prepared to lend you a certain amount of money if you would like." It was exactly the amount of money to buy the property in the city of London. So I bought it straight away with that money. 3 hours later, he said, I received a phone call from the businessman in the city of London. And they said as follows, "Mr. Berg, we've just discovered that you have bought this property. We are prepared to pay 3 times the amount that you purchased it for in order to give you to take the property for." In other words, in the course of a day, I saw enormous, enormous hatzlacha. The Ribbono Shel Olam is throwing me money, and I'm disturbed. Why? What is he doing this for? Why is he giving? I must make sure I have achrayas for the money. Here's such a thing. That's a goymel chasodim. Rav Moshe is giving me all this money for the reason. I must know what to do with my money. I can't just waste it. There's a situation which I'm put in. I'm being thrown money. I must be careful. And I have achrayas. That's why Rav Moshe is giving. That's called a goymel chasodim. No? It's a mensch who's a Yehudi. He's the complete antithesis of the Eruv Rav. One Yom Kippur after Ne'ilah, Hagaon HaTzadik by Moshe Weichmann in Toronto stood in his seat and didn't leave the shul. He had a friend, though, called Tzvi Tress, who was there. He went over and said, "Moshe, what's wrong? You're not leaving the shul." He said, "No, I'm not leaving the shul. I have what to think about." He said, "What are you thinking about?" He said as follows, "Tzvi, what have we had today? Everything is clear. A white sheet. We're given everything today. What an incredible gift this day is. What a day it is, the day of Yom Kippur. Enormous gift. What can I give back?" And I've been thinking during the Elohs following. All those yeshivas and kollelim in Eretz Yisrael, they have tremendous debts. I am capable, with my funds, to clear all their debts. I would like you to go to Eretz Yisrael and ask Rav Shach if he will take over a committee. I am prepared to put up money for all the yeshivas and all the kollelim to wipe out all their debts. He paid $80 million, and other people, wealthy people in Toronto, gave him another 30. $110 million was given. They all turned out overwhelmed, astonished. All their gets were wiped away. That's a mansion. What am I giving this for? That was the effect of Yom Kippur on Moshe Reichman. An incredible thing. That's called a Goyim El Chasodim. That's the people who we are. Rachmanim u'bayshonim and Goyim El Chasodim. Rabbi Sain, the Gaon says in Eben Shlema the following comment, which is the most frightening thought, a most startling comment. He says as follows. The first category of the Eru of Rav are Balei Machlokes and Balei Loshon Hara. He then says, those people are called Amalekim. You hear the words Amalekim. A Yehudi can become an Amaleki if he's a Baal Machlokes and a Baal Loshon Hara. It's not someone from outside, it's inside. It's something like this. You can take a child of 8 days old and take him into a shul and give him bris kodesh and say beautiful things about the child. After 50, 60 years, he can become an Amaleki, a Sam Meiser. Such a tragedy. A Yid who has a bris kodesh becomes an Amaleki. If he's a Baal Machlokes, a Baal Loshon Hara, he had a bris. He had a bar mitzvah, but he came an Amaleki. It's noil of a oil, what it means. That's why when's his situation now? A Yid who's completely confirmed. Maybe even on staff, but if his characteristics are Baalei Machlokes, he is in reality an Amaleki. What happens after 120 years? Never, he goes up into Shomayim and he said, who are you? I'm Yankel Cohen. Yankel Cohen, the Vilna Gaon is sitting here. What do you think about him? He's an Amaleki. And my reasoning is an Amaleki. Baalei Machlokes and Baalei Shomayim. No idea what that means. That's the most enormous tragedy. Inside a river, that's the Subin. The Subin is inside Klal Yisrael. It's an enormous tragedy. A person who's a Baal Machlokes, a Baal Loshon Hara, that's what it means. That's cancer and kappa cancer. That's why we're sitting on the floor. I can't think of a greater tragedy. A Yid becomes an Amaleki. I think whatever it means, the qualities and the characteristics of Amalek, it's no other iron. I remember hearing from Hagon HaTzadik with Moshe Aaron Stern, Zeicher Tzadik Livoch, the Mashgiach of Kamenitz, once said over a Maisa, there was a Levaya in Yerushalayim, and the Chevra Kedisha took the lady out to bury her in Har Menuchas. They took her out in Har Menuchas, and it was a very hot day. And after they finished the Kavua, the person who was doing the Kavua inside the Kever took off his jacket, it was too hot, and he put his jacket on the side of the Kever. They finished the Kever, and he picked his jacket and went off. As he walked away from the Kever, just down the steps from the Kever, he discovered that his wallet wasn't in his pocket. He realized that his wallet must have fallen out of his pocket as he was doing the Kever. He decided, wait 1 second, Chavra, I have to go back and get my jacket. He went back into the, put his hand down, and couldn't get his hand out. His hand was stuck. He couldn't pull his hand out. He screamed out, Chevra, Chevra, come and help me. They came and helped him and pulled his hand out. They looked at his hands, and the hand was bitten. It was a snake bite on his hand, on his hand. He was terrified. They took him to Shari Tzedek. He said, you have a very serious snake bite here. You have poison inside you. Went to Rav Eliashiv afterwards and he said, Pashtus, the woman who you buried was a Baal Loshon Hara, brought down in Chazal. Immediately after a person is nikpa, a Baal Loshon Hara, snakes come and wrap themselves around the neck. He's such a mice. That's what Moshe Aaron said. Rav Eliashiv has said, straight after Misa, then snakes come and gather around the neck. I once told that over to a family in Los Angeles, sitting in their kitchen. So the husband turned around to me and says, whenever anybody says Loshon Hara now, we say snakes, it's enough. Snakes is enough. Just say the word snakes, that's what it means. The power is enormous power. Machlokes is an enormous thing. Loshon Hara, and that's what we're facing in our times now. The Chaim Loshon said in the name of the Vilna Gaon that the 10 parashas in Sefer Devarim are all the last 100,000 years of Klal Yisrael from the year 5,000 to 6,000. Until the Bias HaMoshiach. The final time has to be by the year 6000. In other words, each parasha represents 100 years. We go from Devorim, Reshanan, Ekev, Re'ei, Kiseitse, Shoftim, Kiseitse, Kisovod. We are now in Nitzavim and Vayelech, are two together, 50 years for each. Hazinu is 900, and Zoyis HaBrocha is supposed to be Moshiach, said of Chaim Balosh, in the name of the Kohen. We are now at the psukim in Ki Bishrius Libi Leilech, Sholom Yehieli. That's the nature of our time. The Koichiv Oitzim Yodi, the enormous pride and the arrogance of people have. They're so confident with themselves. They're so proud of themselves. And that's the Eruv. That's the nature of the situation we're in. Sholom Yehieli, Ki Bishrius. Everything I do is correct. I have tremendous koyach inside myself. I remember hearing from the Mashgiach of Volbe in the Meir, I think he's even wrote it in Ali Shur. He said something like this: Noach eso Elokim hishalich Noach. Noach went together with Boreh Yoilam. Avraham Avinu hishalich lefonai veyesamim. Avraham Avinu went in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we clearly saw Achrei Hashem Elokim Teleichu. You can either be with, you can be in front or behind. Of the daf game in Boreh Yoilam, you have to go with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't go by yourself. Come what may, either before or with you or next to you, you have to be with Boreh Yoilam. And if you're by yourself and you call yourself your own power, that is the nature of Erev Rav. That's how Bobo writes. I remember hearing him in the Meir saying such a thing. In 1914, Chofetz Chaim said, when the Balfour Declaration was declared, said the Chofetz Chaim, that's called the Zichron from Shomayim, they remembered us, they remembered us. According to the Biskov, he used the words, a shmeichel from Himmel, a smile from heaven. This is what we received. And then he said, but in 1948, what happened was as follows. Until 1948, the window was open. But then when they wrote in the declaration, Tzur Hashem the Goalo, the Goalo, who's the Goalo? The Goalo means, it doesn't mean Boreal, it means Tzahal, they said. When they wrote in the declaration, the Goalo, who's the Goalo, said the Biskov, the window was closed, the window was slammed shut. And that's the situation that we're in. The nature of the problem is ki yorum oyeviyorei. They lift themselves up. And that's what we're facing in our times, and that's why we're still on the floor, especially by Baalei Machlokes and Baalei Loshon Hara. But if our voice that we have inside our characteristic, a person who's a tzvuyim, he's not really genuine, he's not really honest, he's not integrity, he's voidei facha kovod, voidei facha momoid, he's a Baalei taiva. These are nature of the Erev Rav. We have to move over into those people of Rachmoni by Sholem and Gornei Chasodim. And that's the nature of a Klal Yisrael, like Mr. Berger and Mr. Reichman. We have to change our ways, and that's the nature of why we're sitting on the floor in Tisha B'Av. But look carefully what David HaMelech said as the antidote. What is the reaction that we must have? David HaMelech said as follows. Pen yoyma oyevi yacholtiv, tzarai yogilu ki emoit. The nature of Golas Edom will be, they will be close to Hitmototut. Hitmototut means completely depleted. No chaos, no collapse, the complete collapse of Klal Yisrael. I don't know, Lanias Daiti, I don't think it means like the collapse of the ghetto, like the collapse in Siberia. I don't think it's that sort of collapse. I think the collapse that we have in our time, which is the nature of Golas Edom, if we put this into our times, an Eberbad, the Hitmototut that we are having is that a person completely is submerged in the secular culture. He's enchanted, he's overwhelmed by the gashmias and the materialism there is in society, and it becomes almost like, it's not a subculture, it's a primary culture, it's like an epidemic. The koichi v'yotzim yodi and the gaiva and the pride that people have in their wealth and caught up in materialism is so enormously, it's like a tsunami, you know? It's overwhelming, it takes over from the person. The rush after money, the comfort and everything is pulls you into such an enormous extent. I remember here listening to the Rav Merlinowitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, standing here in front of him, and I remember he turned around and said as follows. In Mitzrayim, he said, the lamb was the Avodah Zarah. In our times, it's the iPhone or the laptop. If you can smash that, I remember Rav Merlinowitz said, if you can break your iPhone, you break a laptop, it's like burning the lamb in Mitzrayim. That's what they worship. People worship the money. They worship their laptop. They're completely caught up in the culture, in the materialism. And that's the trap. It's a primary, it's an epidemic in the country, in throughout Klal Yisrael. And that's the nature that we live in now. I was thinking maybe when the Rambam said, Derech Shalodim Nios Nimshach Achas Sabivov, in our times, Derech Shalodim Nios Nisvad Benivla, completely caught up in the cars and the gashmias and the music and the entertainment and all that there is which is around. You're caught up in the secular culture. It's very hard to... And that's the Hitmototut. The Hitmototut, I think, in our times, in Golas Edom and Erev Rav, is that sort of culture. I'm able to do it by myself. I did it my way. I can do it my way. I'm confident. I can make money. I can go anywhere in the world. I can communicate with anybody at all. I'm completely accessible in all situations. That's the nature of it. Maybe that's the psalm in the meaning, Achet Shechotonu Lefanach, the Simhoin Leva. The Simhoin Leva means being enchanted, overwhelmed by money and materialism in our times. That's the nature of the time we're on. That's one side of the coin. But you have to balance that on the other side of the coin. On one side, you see the enormous burst of affluence and success and prosperity. People have money and they do a tremendous amount with it. They give a lot of tzedakah. But at the same time, it becomes something like a pesel by people. On the other hand, what we see in our times is the most unbelievable, wonderful nace of the renaissance of Torah in our times. Look what's happened in our times. Torah has grown to such an enormous extent after the Holocaust. It's incredible what we see here. The growth in Torah, you can go anywhere in the world, you can at any time in the world, you can listen to a Daf HaYomi. I don't know, maybe Mr. Elon Musk will take a space capsule up to and say, if you want to learn Daf HaYomi in outer space, you can learn Daf HaYomi in outer space. You can do whatever you want, you can do anything at all. And the growth of Torah is enormous. Some principals of schools have told me, that I remember Lakewood, the principal of one of the big Hadoim, they said, every year we have a problem fitting everybody in. The growth of Torah, people are so interested. All the Kolelim are full, the Meir Yeshiva, there's no room, 10,000 people. Lakewood is the same. And the Beis Yaakovs, and the schools, and the publications. There's an enormous, enormous renaissance in Torah. It's a tremendous miracle. It's clear that Borei Olam wants Torah. And that matches together with the enormous rise in Gashmias and materialism, which there is. But by sight, when you put those two together, you come to a situation which I saw in the Chaim Friedlander, the most beautiful, beautiful expression, which is onomatopoeic. You have something called tishtush hatchumin. Tishtush means something which is submerged frontiers. Tishtush means smudged. Smudged frontiers. A smudged frontier means you have on the one side Gashmias, on the other side you have Torah, and it becomes smudged, the frontier between Torah and secularism. And it's very hard to make the distinction between the two. And that, I think, is where the Hismotatut comes out. The people can become, is this secular or is it Torah? You know, like you see, unfortunately, these magazines, they tell you, if you don't drink this wine, if you don't go away to Spain, either for Pesach and five meals a day and spend and go to all these different luxury places. Rosh Hashiva turned around to me, my boy, and he said he doesn't bring these magazines into his house anymore because his mishpacha would be poisoned by all the gashmis, he said. All the gashmis is given out. My son sent me a picture of a... He went into a store in Brooklyn, he saw a piece of meat for $900. The gashmis is enormous. Is it Torah or is it secular? And people get confused. The music, the entertainment. If you don't have a room with a jacuzzi and a swimming pool, it's like I'm missing something. I deserve this. What do you mean deserve? David HaMelech said, you don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything at all. And people, they taunt you. Is it Torah or is it secular? And it becomes very confusing. You can't make distinction. The frontier is smudged between something which is gashmias and something which is ruchnias. And that's where our problem comes in. We can't see clearly between the enormous amount of affluence which there is, and at the same time, the other Torah as well, which is phenomenal, the grace in Torah. And that's a smudged frontier between the two of them. And it's very hard to tell the difference between them. What do we do? How do we react to this? How are we supposed to respond? How can we reach the point, ki sigma eloi, that Kodesh Baruch will be goyman and we wait for Boyayayam in the beginning? I think it's this. Lanier's writing, I thought a great deal of how to respond to this sort of situation. Lanier's writing, I think it's something like this. You know that in the Torah HaKadosha, there are four types of shlemas. There's something called emunah shlema, something called tshuva shlema, refuah shlema, and geula shlema. There are four shlemas. They all, I think, have one common factor to them. Emunah shlema means as follows, that I believe fully emunah shlema in all 13 principles of the Rambam, each one of the animamim. How many people can turn around and say, I have emunah shlema? All 13 are perfect by me. Ani lo yodea. I'm in work in progress. I don't know if I've reached it all. Emunah shlema is something, it's ongoing. It's work in progress. You're continually working on something, emunah shlema. Emunah shlema is something I haven't arrived at yet. I didn't reach my destination yet in emunah shlema. What does it mean, tshuva shlema? All the nekudas of the Rambam, chavota, aziva sachet, kabbalah lahava, and vidu, all these points. A person can turn around and say, I did tshuva shlema, and he lay there. Can we say tshuva shlema? I don't know. Rambam says, Mefurish, until Boyei Olam is made on me that I reach tshuva shlema. I don't know. To say that we reach tshuva shlema is a tremendous accomplishment. Tshuva shlema, I don't know. I hope we have reached that point. What does it mean, Mefurish shlema? Mefurish shlema means, I'm sure that I'll never ever go back to that illness again. That's a tremendous, tremendous thing to say, Mefurish shlema. And therefore, I would suggest as well, all four of them, and Gula Shlema is work in progress. You have to take each one of the periods of Golas, I think, take something out of the Golas, and try and work on it. Something tafasta mulubele tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta. If you take something small, if you can, and work on it, that reaches Gula Shleima. Gula Shleima is an ongoing process to reach that point. I took out of Mitzrayim, I took out of Babel, I'm working on it, and it's work in progress at each of these points. And therefore, what is the tafasta mua, which perhaps we can work on in this period? In other words, not to reach a point of ismoitatut. I would suggest as follows, Lanya's deity. First of all, go back to the Torah HaKadosh, midoraisa. Yaakov Avinu was asked by Esav, come with me, let's go together, let's walk together, let's go to Sukkos. And Yaakov said, no, vayivosa Yaakov, I'm not going with you. Whichever way you go, I'm going my way, you can go your way. I'm not accompanying you. The first way is to keep away from Edom as much as one can, keep away from the Erevav. That's midoraisa. Rabbi Yerucham has a famous maimon on this. Vayivosa Yaakov levadoi, ki nisgav Hashem levadoi, and Yaakov was also nisgav levadoi. Beautiful maimon of Rabbi Yerucham. The person has to remove himself in some way, not to be so close together, not bound up and bonded with these people, to be removed as much as one possibly can. Secondly, there is a maimon, if you have a chance to look at, in the Alter von Kelm, in Chochma Musa, Chelik Beis, maimon kuf yotes. The Alter von Kelm asks a wonderful question, which is Noger to Gulas Mitzrayim. He says as follows. Why was it the Gulas Mitzrayim took place when the Botzeik was not biased? Why was it only a situation of matzah? Why didn't they have proper bread? They came out with, they say, 90 chamoyim of kesef and zov, but the bread wasn't leavened. Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu wait a few minutes? What was there in the message to tell you that you're not going to have all your sipuk in your food? Geula does not mean you have all the cakes and bread in front of you. It's less than that. To teach you as follows, as the altar, the Bo Yalom wanted to show us that Geula is not necessarily arriving at all your taivas. All your taivas can be limited. You don't have to look search for every single aspect of taiva. Geula means less than that. And that's why we had matzah when we came out. You cannot survive without lechem in the middle. You need seder l'derech. You take less. Gula doesn't necessarily mean having all the bakery and all the nourishment that you have. Take less than that, says the Alter. And that's the nekuda of gula. Gula means you're not searching to fulfill all your taiva. Then the Alter has a beautiful mind and says as follows. The satisfaction and the pleasure that a Baal taiva has when he reaches all his desires is far less than a person who turns around and says, I don't need that. I'm happy with what I had. The happiness and the success and the relief of the Baal taiva is far less. What he says is because he just wants more and more. He's not happy. He's not satisfied. Says the Alter, when you have less and you can turn around and you control yourself with your taiva, that happiness and satisfaction is far greater than that. And that's the message behind. Gula does not mean all physical titillation, all physical enticement you have. You can manage with less than that. That's what Gula means. I think that's in the Kud as well. That's something to hold back. I don't need all the great taiva. I can manage without. I can turn around and say, no, I don't need the exclusive holiday. I don't need, in order to feel happy, I don't have to have all the music. I can manage with less. I'm quite happy with 2 meals a day, or not 5 meals a day. I don't have to have the best sukkah, or the most attractive wine, or the great cheeses, or everything. I can manage with less. And one can turn around and say that. That already is a rebuttal of the goddess Edom, no? The taiva is less, and that's against the culture. Yeah. The last point, which I wanted to bring out to you, in the time that we have, is how does Shlomo HaMelech see Klal Yisrael at the time of the Gula Shleima? What is his take on what happens in the time of the Gula Shleima? Listen to these beautiful words in Shir HaShirim Perek Zayin. Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, saw Klal Yisrael at the time of Ikzat Mashiach. Shuvi, shuvi hashulamis. Shuvi, shuvi v'necheseboch. Come back to me. Come back to me, shulamis. Come back to me after Bovel. Come back to me after Golus Parasamadai. Shuvi after Yovan. Shuvi after Edoy. The 4 periods of Golus. Says shuvi, 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 shuvi v'necheseboch. Ma techezu bashulamis. What is supposed to be the perfection and the beautiful scene of Klal Yisrael at the time of the Gula Shleima? Meaning, how are we supposed to look? What is supposed to look? Kemecholas hamachanayim, like the dance of the camps. That's a moshul. I once heard from my dear friend, Rav Hillel Belsky, he's a Rav Shleima, he once turned around to me and told me, I think it's from Avodah. Why is the moshul of the dance of the camps the scene of Klal Yisrael before the Gula Shleima. How are we supposed to look? How is the, what is the Kala supposed to look like before the Chosen, before the Gula Shleima comes? What is the scene? What is the portrait? Of, it's the dance of the camps. A camp in Klal Yisrael, in the Midbar, stay with the Moshul, is the uniqueness of each Shevet, each tribe by themselves, the individuality with their own prince and their own flag and their own customs. Each Shevet in Klal Yisrael was unique and independent. A camp meant individuality and independence. A dance always implies you're jumping up. You come down, but you keep on jumping up. You're always climbing up to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You come down, but you keep on trying, jumping up again. The effort is always made. Klal Yisrael and the Midbar were trying all the time to improve and get them closer. They learned the mitzvahs. That was the scene inside them. Inside the Midbar, they were becoming more and more proficient in the mitzvahs. In a dance, you're always holding hands with other people. You're caring about all the tribes together, went together in unison. It was a unity and a unison in Kaisa. Coming together and holding on hands, you're dancing with other people, is the Bein Adam Lachaveh. Inside the Midbar, that was Klal Yisrael. There was strife, there was arguments between them, but Rabbeisa, at the end of the day, what did Borei Olam say in the words of Bilam? You have problems. There was koyach, there was the meraglim, there were difficulties of the eagle. But in the end of the day, there was tremendous milas at Kodesh Baruch Hu with all the difficulties. The nimshal is clear, Rabbi Yisai. In the time before the Mashiach, we're supposed to be individuals. Individuals independent with our own koyachas, with our own initiative, what we can achieve by ourselves. Always striving, trying to daven better, trying to learn better, trying to be more careful about Shemesh. The striving, jumping, you come down, you keep on trying again. The failures are there, a lot of the failures are there, but you keep on lifting yourself, and that's the dance. And always caring, Bein Adam Lachaveh, the care between each other is paramount between them. Once you have that, Yachas Bein Adam Lachaveh, that is the nature, that is the portrait of Klal Yisrael by the wisest of all men. Ma Techas, what does the Shulamis look like? She looks like she's independent, each person, striving to improve, and always being connected with other people between them. I remember the Hesped in Rabbi Yisai of Abgershon, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, of Abgershon Edelstein. Chizkiyahu Mishkovsky came along and said as follows. He said that at the time of the Levaya of Aaron Leib Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, Reb Gershon only mentioned the milas of Reb Aaron Leib in Bein Adam Lachaveh. He didn't talk about anything else. And Reb Bishkovsky went over to Reb Gershon and asked him, why did you talk about the milas of the Koyachos of Torah of Reb Aaron Leib? And Reb Aaron Leib and Reb Gershon turned around and said as follows, because Reb Aaron Leib kept on telling me all the time, the most important thing in the Ikkus of the Mashiach is Bein Adam Lachaveh. And therefore I wanted to say that this man affected himself. But Gershon said his aim emphasis is everything in our time. And sinas chinam, the avas abiyas. And therefore that's the reason why Gershon was masculine about Aaron Leib, only about his mitzvah Bein Adam Lachaveh, for holding on the yachas between each of us. These are the points of Rabbi Yisai. It's been a little bit long, but these are the points I think which masculine David. Rakam maskel be'is hazois, only a maskel, yidoy v'yitkoinein. You look at the Eivu Vav and you see the Bali Gaiva and the qualities of them. It's not Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is supposed to be Rachmon and Gaim and Gaim Nechaser. That's the nature why we're sitting on the floor. The Bali Machloikis. We have to, in some way, turn around and say not to stumble, not to be caught up in the problems which they have. But lift yourself up, be an individual, and say no. Be able, like the outer said, say no to something entitled. And to lift ourselves up in independence, and that will be the koichas, mitzvah Hashem, shenizke lirois, mitzvah Hashem, we should get up off the floor and dance around and say, mitzvah Hashem, yobah HaMashiach, imheil v'yameinu, amen.